I went mortar crossing yesterday. Isn't that the silliest
thing? Happened to your thing?
Yeah. Where? Yesterday. In Paris, P-E-E-R-I, yeah.
Where you go skydiving?
What? Well, yeah, that's where people go skydiving. Yeah, there's a huge motocross place there. And I was like, I was there with my friend, and she like stayed in first, and I was like on third gear, like on the track, like doing the jumps. So stupid. And then I just forgot, like, what happens if I fall? The motorcycle falls on top of me, and my leg just went.
Do you feel like your life, as you were saying a second ago, has changed dramatically in the last couple of years? It's like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I felt like my life was changing 4 years ago, because that's when I first started working in film, mm-hmm. and that's when I got to meet Al Pacino and work opposite him and Terrence Malick. And of course now it's just, this past week in Cannes has been unlike anything I've ever experienced. I mean, I went with two films, which to go with one film is a big deal, but then to go with two films is huge. And one of them is a Terrence Malick film. And then they both won the top prize in their category. So that's unexpected and wonderful.
Is it, as an actor, is it unexpected? Is it, does it feel like a natural flow of things in the film as you've gone?
To be honest, it does feel unexpected. Because I really don't, you know, especially even with Tree of Life, I knew it was going to be a beautiful film. Mm-hmm. And for me, I saw the film and I was like, it's a masterpiece. I like love it so much, but sometimes with a lot of great films, they're before their time, you know, and it takes years and years for other people to acknowledge them. Mm-hmm. So I always thought it doesn't matter what people think of the film, because I know what I know, and I had this experience, and mm-hmm. I think it's beautiful. And then when we just got acknowledged for it, that was like great.
So what was your experience? Was it, because the film is, as I've described it, but it feels almost like found footage. It feels almost like Terry's kind of gone out and shot something that feels so real and intimate, but not a huge amount of dialogue in what we've seen, and not a lot of, you know, natural story, not tight storytelling the way you might expect. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do you feel that as an actor? Did you know that when you went in and read the script? And
I knew when I was auditioning for him, he gave me this kind of speech from the mother talking to the father during the grief section. Did it many, many times, and then towards the end he goes, great, Jessica, now could you do it with no lines? Don't say any of the lines. And I remember right before I did it, I was like, okay, because it was the audition too, so you like want to do it right. And I thought, oh gosh, it's scary, because am I going to express everything that he wrote in the speech without saying any lines? But then it's also in a way kind of freeing. It's like I went to Juilliard, and in mask class, there's the idea that when you put a mask over your face, everyone says it frees your body. All of a sudden, your body becomes more expressive. So I wonder if by him saying that and saying, you know, no diet, you know, don't say the lines now, but still do the monologue, it's like putting a mask over my mouth, and then it makes you have to be more expressive with your eyes, with your heart. It's like the camera sees into your soul. So I felt like on this movie, Terry wrote my subtext. Because every scene, even scenes that you don't see me speaking, he wrote what I'm saying, I guess. But the mother speaks with her soul and not with her voice.
Do you shoot both ways? Do you shoot more the more chatty section, and then there's a lot of you know, pushing somebody in a swing or whatever it might be?
Yeah, we do. We actually would always shoot things with dialogue and then without. And there's something really interesting towards the end of filming, because, you know, the movie, it's about these two paths of life, so the way of nature and the way of grace. And with Brad's character, who plays the way of nature, he's always lecturing and saying, this is how you have to be in this world, you know. And he's always telling the kids how they have to be. So every time we tried to do something where the mother was telling them how they should be, it wasn't quite working, because it wasn't graceful to tell someone how to live their life. So we kind of realized that the way the mother teaches the children and the way she expresses herself is through her behavior, and she speaks through the soul, so which is why a lot of the voiceover for her is her lessons, like love everyone, everything, every blade of grass, every leaf. that's something that we filmed me saying to them, but I think it's more moving having it be in the voiceover because it's her through her behavior.
I kind of felt like both characters embodied both. I mean, obviously it was clear that one was one and the other, but they both seemed to be conflicted with the other side. I mean, I think Brad's character has almost been oversimplified by some critics as because of the harshness of a couple scenes.
Yeah.
But he really seems to want to find nature also. He seems to... Or he wants to find grace. He seems to...
Right. What's so beautiful... what's so heartbreaking about his character is that he plays this man that's so emotionally closed down and... but desperately wants a relationship with his children and with his wife. Mm-hmm. But just doesn't know how to do it. And thinks like, well, the only way to succeed is the way that I was taught. And so he tries to live his life like that. Then he gets confused. Why don't I have a close relationship with my children?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's incredibly complex what he did. And it's really heartbreaking because he didn't just play this, you know, difficult, intimidating man. He played this man, but he was also like very wounded, his heart. It's beautiful.
When he's giving, as harsh as he is at times, he seems to be trying to help the children figure out the way.
Well, we're both trying. It's interesting, though, because he really believes that it's a world survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
And each man for himself, and you got to go out there and you got to make your mark in the world. And if someone hits you, you hit them back harder. He really believes that's the way to be successful. And the mother believes the opposite. She believes that if someone hits you, you give them love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the idea of what is the way of the world? What separates us from animals? Is it that we do have a connection to the spirit world? To the idea that perhaps there's something larger than us out there? I think that's the wonderful thing about this film is it asks more questions than it answers. It doesn't say this is how you're supposed to be. It actually, hopefully, creates a lot of discussion, and you go and you watch the film and you think like, I think it's about this, and then someone else says, well, I think it's about this.
So how is it for you? I mean, is production the great time for you? Is that the great joy? Is it considering it and making choices before you're on a set, or does it even feel like a set when you're shooting with Terry?
Well, I enjoyed so much the rehearsal process with Terry because I was cast about 3 months before, and we would have weekly phone conversations. I flew to see him a couple times and went to Kansas to be on a farm for a little bit. He would guide me, suggest paintings that I would look at in the Metropolitan Museum of Art of the Madonna. So I'd sit and watch these women. You know, even the way that they held their hands, there's this kind of like, you just feel this open heart energy from them.
Mm-hmm.
He also suggested I listen to a lot of Lauren Bacall because, and this is really interesting, he said that in modern world right now, we all talk really fast because we're afraid we're going to get interrupted. And he said that he wants her to have this quality that she speaks and it's very slow, and if someone starts talking, then she stops. She never has to fight. Which as an actress is really also very hard because then Jessica, you know, wants to fight. Mm-hmm. I want to chime in and I want to participate. But you have to think of like, I just have to trust and surrender to this moment because that's what she does. But also being on a set, it's like, it's very different than another set. There's no, you can't really have an ego when you're working on a Terrence Malick movie. So in other films, you show up and you rehearse the scene, and then we go back to our trailer and have breakfast, and well, they light, and then you go back, and there's this kind of this thing of like, all right, now you guys watch me. I'm the actor. We're gonna do the scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's this weird separation, but on his films, there's not that moment at all. There's no rehearsal. You're shooting all the time, and we're all moving together. And I keep saying it's like being in a dance company without a soloist. Because I've got my pages, and I could say any line at any point whenever it inspires me. And then Chivo will speak out loud when the thing's rolling, like, look over there, you know, look at that. And then I start to walk towards that. And Jorgen's kind of, he's the camera operator. He's kind of pushing me. I feel this little hand on my side. So I start to go this direction. And then Eric is the focus pulley. He's, you know, trying to desperately grab something. And then whatever's happening, and Terry sees being with us, is inspired to say a line. And I wait till it's all quiet, and I say the line, and then the camera comes back towards me and goes past me. So this has this moment, this free-flowing, you have to absolutely let go of any idea of planning and just be open to the accidents that we all discover together.
So does that feel like a great exception to the rule to you, or is it everything still fresh enough in front of a camera that you're... You're trying everything still.
I'm still always trying everything. It's absolutely will never be repeated again, because when you work on a set, the crew is involved more than in another film, which kind of breaks my heart a little bit, because I love that. I love us all working together. But I live for... My favorite parts about acting is my scene partners. Like, working with Michael Shannon and Take Shelter, there is that element of that, of we're going to be here in the scene together. It's you and me. We don't know what's about to happen. We kind of know the structure of the scene, but there's, like, this invisible, there's, like, this electric current that binds us, and we have to be absolutely intuitive to each other. And there's this give and take. And spontaneity, and to be absolutely open emotionally and inventive.
But Jeff seems a little more structured as a director than Terry.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff is definitely more structured as a director. I mean, also with Take Shelter, we had no time to make this movie. There are some scenes that I watched the film and I thought, we have three takes and that was it. And that was a big scene. And that was really scary for me to think, there's nothing to cut to in this. And both Mike and I would go to Jeff and be like, Jeff, there's nothing to cut to. Like, what if we didn't get it? And Jeff would be like, we got it. Don't worry, we got it. But I think you can only work on something like that where you're working with actors like Michael Shannon and a filmmaker like Jeff Nichols, who, he knew the story he wanted to tell. And so I had to completely surrender to, even if there was one moment where I was like, I'm not sure about the scene. I think it should be, and he goes, no, trust me. And I did. And thank God I did, because he was right. And when I watched the movie, I go, thank God. I trusted Jeff. He's amazing.
And you've done two films with actors as directors.
Yes. Yes.
Alan Rafe. Is that a different experience altogether? Or is that, are they just intuitive in a different way as directors?
The great thing about working with... Al and Rafe and like an actors who are acting in the film and directing it, is they know how to talk to actors. So they really know how to get what they want from you without telling you directly. Like working with Al, it was my very first film I ever did, and it was a great bridge from theater to film. And I would catch the way he would direct me. Like, we'd do a scene and then they'd be loading the camera and he'd come over to me and be like, we got the scene. Scene's done. Well, we got time, so we're going to just keep filming. Okay, already he's giving me confidence, right? I'm like, okay, we got the scene. Then he says stuff like, and, you know, Salome, you know everyone on this stage wants you. You know you're the most beautiful, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, yeah, okay, great. That's it. Walks away. We go to shoot the scene again, the next take. I am so confident, and I know every one of these guys wants me and all this stuff. And of course, the scene can't help but be different. And I hear Al going, good girl, good girl, that's it. And I knew immediately at that moment, I was like, wow, this is what he wanted. But if he had come up to me like another director might and say, could you be sexier? Immediately the actor thinks, I'm not sexy. And then it's like the worst, it like creates the opposite effect. But Al and Rafe, they're able to do it. They know what creates a good performance, and they can kind of like trick you with their direction. Which is great.
What's interesting is Al has done these films that have been kind of semi-documentary, the work, and Marissa Tomei talks about basically him changing her career also, that her doing Salome with him when she was doing it completely changed her sense of herself in the work. So obviously as a gift for this.
He's the greatest film teacher I've ever known. Like, he's taught me so much about film acting, and I'm so grateful, because it being my first film... And I just take what he taught, I take it to, in every project I do. Mm. Everything. I mean, he also taught me, like, said that a lot of people try to ignore the camera because they want to pretend it's not there, but he said it's, you have to do the opposite. He said you have to love the camera, be intimate with the camera, because it sees into your soul. It's a part of your body. Mm. And more, it's closer to you than your scene partner. And if you have the thing of, I want to ignore it, you're not allowing it to see into your heart and your soul. And once you actually give your, leave yourself open to it, then you never, you don't notice it anymore, because it's part of you. Like, I don't really think about my finger or my, it's just part of me. Right. So he kind of taught me that. He's brilliant. I mean, of course, he's one of the greatest film actors we know.
So when did you see Tree of Life for the first time?
I saw Tree of Life a year ago, right when there was a discussion that we were going to take it to Cannes. And that was like a blur to me, because it was incredibly emotional to watch the film. It's like watching a home movie, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Because when you're on a Terrence Malick set, you're really not acting. You just have to really be in it, and it has to be real. So watching the scenes with me and the boys really felt like, oh, this was that summer vacation that we all... and then watching it again at the Palais, that was the second time I had seen it. And I'm going to see it again tonight, so it'll be the third time.
Very different movie the second time around? Or... because we know Terry cuts and cuts
yeah.
and cuts.
Yeah, it's actually the same. To me, it was the same film.
Uh-huh.
It, because a year had passed, it's difficult for me to say what's not in it. But it's both films, you know, a year ago and the one now. It's exactly what I imagined it would be from reading the script. It's not like he wrote a script and he completely deviated from it.
Right.
He wrote it, and it's written very close to being a novel. It's not written like a screenplay. So you always wonder, I don't know how you're going to accomplish this, but this is the story he's going to tell, and it's the story he told.
Are you generally critical of yourself on screen?
I try not to be critical of myself. I get critical of myself sometimes. I'm not in Tree of Life, which is nice, because, you know, to me it feels like I said, a home movie. But sometimes I do have trouble watching myself.
So you're dissecting your performance, not your nose or whatever.
Oh, no, it's never about physically, never. Right. Sometimes I have difficulty, like, if I'm doing something really, like, bold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like nudity. You know, something that's really, like, makes me really vulnerable. I have difficulty watching myself, because it's important to do as an actor to leave yourself exposed and vulnerable. But as Jessica, to see myself exposed and vulnerable, it's like, oh, it's uncomfortable.
And you answered the follow-up without me asking, was this film is different, it sounds like, where Tree of Life is not that kind of performance. So
Well, I did leave. I mean, it was very, I was very vulnerable in the film, because I couldn't plan anything and I had to be absolutely in the moment and just do whatever. But I knew, I trusted Terry that he wouldn't humiliate me. You know, like, that's the great thing when you're working with a director, that you can absolutely try anything and be free and open, and they're not going to humiliate you. And I never, and he hasn't. And so to this day, like, every film I do, I always go in and be like, let's go for it. Let's be brave.
And the second time around, you're just kind of in a smaller role, I assume.
Yeah, the film I just did with him, I did 2 days on the set. My scenes were with Ben Affleck, and I don't know that I'm going to be in the movie, but it was wonderful, because I missed that crew so much, and we had become like family. So showing up was like this great homecoming for me. And I would be in any of his films. Actually, I would work on the crew in any of his films. He's gone beyond, you know, just director to me. He's like family, and he's a friend, and he's a teacher, and I'll whatever he needs.
Do you see yourself leaning towards other things besides acting as you go forward? It sounds like you're interested in all those pieces.
right now, I'm still like, you know, I feel like I'm still a student on acting, so I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. And also, I can't begin to say that I could direct a film because there's so much that goes into it. Mm-hmm. I am excited about, I went to Juilliard and I loved that experience so much. So who knows, maybe in 20 years I'll be in New York and doing theater and like working at Juilliard. I would like that as well. So I do see other lives for me, but I think it's focused in acting.
Do you think about 20 years from now, or do you think about 5 years from now? Are you a careerist at all, or?
You know, I'm not really a careerist, but I try to create a life where I know that I'm never backing myself into a corner. Hmm. So, you know, I get a question a lot about, like, what are you going to do in films when, you know, like, film roles dry up for women? And I always respond with, well, I started in the theater, and for me, the character is the most important thing. I'll just go play Hedda Gabler in New York. So I always, it's nice for me to know that I have control over
You're like a freshly grown daisy, and they're already asking about the end of your career.
Isn't that crazy?
That's kind of insane.
Welcome to being a woman in Hollywood.
Already. I mean, it's stunning. And does all this talk about awards and the awards that have already been garnered and all of that turn your head? Or is it a distraction at this point, or is it?
It's not necessarily, it's not a bad thing, and it's not a good thing. I just, the most important thing for me is the scripts. So if something creates a space where all of a sudden I'm getting the most beautiful character roles to play and the opportunity to work with fantastic filmmakers like Darren Aronofsky or Michael Haneke or, you know, people that I've always wanted to work with, that's what excites me.
You seem to be drawing directors. You seem to have that thing, that energy that they're finding something in you that they're wanting to mine. Are you feeling like that? Do you sense that?
I feel like I'm drawing from them. I feel like every project I go for, it's like I'm looking, it's a master class for me, and I'm wanting, like, who's going to be my teacher on this film? So, for me, it's not about fame, it's not about money, it's about who do I get to work with and who do I get to learn from, and that's what I go after.
So right now, still director first, script second, or the script?
It's the part first.
The script's not important.
It's the part first. Because, yeah, for a woman, it has to be a really dynamic character. And so it's the part first, and it's director and actors. It's very important. Who am I going to be acting with? Because I learn so much on set, in the moment, in the scene.
But if Haneke calls, you'll probably say...
If Haneke calls, fine. I will stand there in the background, like, wearing a... I love Michael Haneke's films. Yeah.
And you can drive your dirt bike to the Oscar.
When my knee recovers, my motocross knee.
There's supposed to be something in your contract saying you can't ride a dirt bike ever. And
well, the good thing is I'm not working right now, so if this was the opportunity to ride a dirt bike.
So you're heading back to work soon, or are you?
Yeah, right
just
now.
Kind of wait to see what.
Now I'm on the next phase where I will experience and learn what it's like to actually have films come out in the movie theater. So it's very exciting.
Is it exciting?
Very exciting.
Not intimidating. It's just.
It's a little, like, intimidating in that I hope it doesn't change the work for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope that I've had the great gift of being able to work for 4 years and just solely concentrate on the work and never think about what it, you know, any of the difficulties that happens when, you know, someone might recognize me. I haven't dealt with that at all. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that intimidates me is I wonder, okay, still all about the work. At the end of the day, that's what's important, and I want it to always be that.
Not reading reviews? Not reading reviews.
Never read reviews.
Never read reviews.
No.
Never
if
read?
If I believe, when I did a play once in New York, and I read a review, and I was like, no, I can't do it. Because if I believe a good review, that means I've got to believe a bad review. And of course, you end up hearing things because people say congratulations, or, you know, they clue you in, but I have to, as an actor, I have to be so, I can't be self-conscious. And if I read a review where someone says something about my physicality or my voice, mm-hmm. it's going to make me think about it.
So now you're going to be competing with Meryl Streep?
No, I don't know.
Fighting for roles with Meryl, because you're that age.
Oh, right.